Sup guys, welcome to the first ever University of Gains podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Furnas here. This podcast, we have a very special guest, Patrick Reynolds. Patrick, tell a little bit about yourself and tell us about yourself and like where you are in your fitness journey right now.
All right, what's good everyone? I'm very happy to be here with Joseph doing this podcast and just going to talk a little bit about fitness and you know how younger people, teenagers, university students, and people can get into it to, you know, better themselves, better their lives. Me personally, I started, training and really caring about my nutrition and my fitness goals in general when I was about 16 years old. Now I'm currently 20 years old, attending university, about to be 21, and have learned a bunch of stuff on the way. And I'm trying to do a little thing on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube for myself just to, spread the message of like fitness and what it has to offer and how everyone can implement it in their lives and, you know, see benefits in every aspect from, incorporating new exercises and better nutrition into their lives.
Yeah, I feel like you're being a little bit too modest there, like a little thing. If you guys don't know, Patrick has around 80,000 followers on TikTok, and you were actually one of the people during quarantine who kind of got me into fitness. Like, I feel like you were kind of on the wave before like pretty much everyone and their mom kind of had a fitness account. I feel like it was kind of like a daunting thing early on because no one was doing it, you know, and it's kind of scary. Like, what are your peers going to think? What are people going to think? Are you going to get bullied for this? How did you just kind of make that step and start doing it? And how did you get to where you did now?
Yeah, for sure. So, personally, I've been posting on Instagram for about a year before I even started my fitness TikTok in a sense. And it wasn't until, like you said, it wasn't until quarantine hit where, I thought TikTok was just kind of like a kid's app and didn't think there was really any value being provided on there, you know, just an app where you can do dancing. And then a friend actually convinced me to download it. And once I did, I saw a couple, like there was literally only two or three people actually doing fitness or talking about fitness on TikTok itself. So the reason why I got on TikTok was because I was, thinking this will be a good way to grow my Instagram actually. And there's a lot of, younger people on here who probably are in the same position that I was when I first started. So I thought it would have been a good idea to, start making content on TikTok itself. And I did that literally right when quarantine started. So this would have been March 2019, roughly around there. And yeah, like you said, now I'm up to about almost 80,000 followers. So I think I was one of the early adopters. Like I said, there's only a couple people doing it when I started. But yeah, so I think that TikTok's been great just because a lot of younger people have got involved with fitness through TikTok because they weren't really looking for that type of content, and it kind of just found them on their For You page. And then now a lot of people have adopted the fitness lifestyle, so I think it's great.
No, for sure. What was kind of like that first video that blew up that you made, like that you really think kind of like set you off kind of?
So what's really funny is I think the first video I made that actually blew up, and I think it is still my most popular video to this day. I think it has around 1.1 million views, and it came out fairly early when I started, just a couple months after I started making content on TikTok. And it was literally the most, not pointless video, but it was the most low effort video I think I've ever done, where I literally just talked to the camera. And I was like, it's crazy to think that if you start, working out and eating properly at 15 in the next 5 years before you're 21, you could have your dream body and then just maintain it for the rest of your life. And it was just literally, that's all I said, super short video. And I think a lot of people kind of didn't realize it until I said that. And then that's why it caught so much traction and then just ended up blowing up.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It's true though, that's the thing. That's definitely why it blew up, because it is a true fact. But yeah, so you've been working out before TikTok blew up. A lot of people kind of started working out because of TikTok. I know just from playing hockey, I used to go to the gym, but I didn't really know what I was doing at all. And kind of watching TikTok kind of helped me figure out I was just so confused at the gym. So it helped me kind of figure out a routine and figure out what I wanted to actually do. before like social media, like what were you watching or doing before everything was on social media when you first started working out when you were like 16 years old?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that like nowadays, like people that are getting started now have a big advantage just because of the amount of information that's out there. And, you know, a lot of these content creators obviously weren't there when I started around 5 years ago. So what I think is really funny is what me and my friend would do once we first started working out, like before we even thought to research on YouTube and, you know, Google stuff, was we would literally just look at the biggest dudes in the gym, watch them for 5 to 10 minutes before we started our workout, and then just go right behind them. Once they were done with the machine, we would hop on that machine and do literally what they did 5 minutes earlier and just basically copy the biggest dudes in the gym, like workout routine, and just go from there. Like anytime we saw some really massive dude, you know, doing something that we never seen before, we're like, okay, we're going to add that in the next workout. And, you know, we would write it down or do it, put it in our notes in our phone. And that was basically how we made our workout routines back in the day, just copying the biggest people we could see.
That's hilarious. I don't think I've heard that before, but that's hilarious. Like, talking about routines though, like what is like kind of a day in the life of Patrick? Like, what do you do? And this is kind of getting into the university stuff. How do you kind of balance your stuff? Because my roommates, they always talk about, I'm sorry to put them on blast here, but they always say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. How do you fit making content, working out, eating, and plus going to school all in your schedule?
Yeah, so I think that like COVID was bad for a lot of people, but in certain ways it was good. And I think one of the reasons why, like with a lot of people's university programs shifting to online, I think it was a blessing in the sense that a lot of time was saved in the commuting sense. And also like for people that are even living on res, and like for myself with classes online, like I had no more excuses to not like eat enough and eat right, just because you could have your lecture going on and you're in the kitchen cooking up, or you like, you don't have to have a buffer in between where you got to like wake up extra early to make food and then eat. Like you can eat during class, you can eat right before class, 5 minutes before, and then just open your computer. You can even like, you know, cook and eat while you're in class while the lecture is going. So I think, you know, that was really good, that aspect. Also, like in terms of just having time, I know a lot of people have a lot of different responsibilities, but it's just a matter of making it a priority. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate. And the thing that I always tell people is that if you're telling me you don't have time, I want you to go on your phone really quick, open up your settings and check your screen time. If there's more than 2 hours on there, you definitely have time. So it's just a matter of making it a priority. And like, you don't have to go to the gym 6 times a week like a lot of people do. 3 times is plenty. If you can go twice, that's good. So it's just a matter of wanting to do it and, you know, just doing it, like just getting out the door and start walking to the gym. And once you do that, like there's no turning back, right? So I think that's a big thing.
No, for sure. I think a screen time is like a really good one. Like something that kind of I've been doing is just like setting like time limits on some of my apps too, just because sometimes you'll go on TikTok or go on YouTube or something and you just kind of get lost in there. It just wastes your whole day, or you could be eating, you could be working. But yeah, it's honestly just like a matter of like, how bad do you want it? And kind of going off of that, like I know this is kind of like a big topic right now, and I know I see a lot of boys in university doing it. Kind of saying like, once you go to the gym, you can't get back. I know what a lot of people do is they're going to crank like 2 scoops of pre-workout to the dome and then they can't go back. What are your thoughts on kind of ripping pre-workout every single day? You think it's a bad thing, good thing? You think you should just be using it every once in a while? What are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on that, I mean, pre-workout, you know, what they say is everything's healthy in moderation. I mean, if you're pounding back 2 scoops of your pre-workout of choice before every single workout, I would say that's questionable. You might want to take a step back and really think about what you're doing. I don't think pre-workout is like, I think it honestly is demonized a little bit. I don't think it's as bad as people say. But like you said, when you're taking, you know, excess amounts every single day, that's when it gets tricky. My personal recommendations and what I really do is I have 2 different types of pre-workouts. So I have stimulant based, which basically is just like caffeine and energy, right? And then I have another type of pre-workout, which is more like a pump product, which basically just means it's going to give you a better mind-muscle connection. It's going to give better blood flow to your muscles, which you definitely want while you're working out. So for that reason, I have those two different types. And then I basically will just cycle those. So I'll try to stick to the stimulant base like 2 to 3 times a week max. And then I honestly think it's fine to use the pump based every day if you want. And that's kind of what I do. So I'll just do 2 to 3 times with my, stimulant based if I'm like tired or I have a really hard session coming up. And then just as an everyday thing, I'll just take the pump formula where that's just going to increase my blood flow. And it's not really going to, give me like excess amounts of caffeine or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So boys, you heard it here first from Patrick. Don't be ripping 400 mgs to the dome every day. Like keep it in moderation. Yeah. So another thing is like people, they want to start eating healthy, but they have no idea where to start. I'm just going to speak for myself. On res, I'm fortunate enough that I live in an apartment. So I have a kitchen, but a lot of people, they have a communal kitchen. They pretty much just have like a microwave. What are some healthy things you can make just in the microwave when you live in a university, you don't have that much time? What are some things that you've done before?
Things I've done, I've done eggs in the microwave. I don't know how I feel about that. Probably can't do that every day. Sometimes it gets nasty, but the biggest thing I think is like oats. And I think that a lot of people don't like oatmeal and oats is just because they kind of just throw it in the microwave and then eat it. Like I wouldn't do that. You can add peanut butter to it. You can add almond butter. You can add a little bit of sugar. You can add cinnamon. You can add frozen fruits. So I would say oatmeal with like frozen fruit and maybe a protein powder is probably one of the best like go-to meals you can do with just a microwave, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's like a great thing. Something that like I've also just kind of been doing that like I know a lot of people do, but it's just something easy. Kind of like I just rip like rice cakes with peanut butter. Like it's just something easy. You can just do it in the morning, like in between classes or something. There's just so many like different things. There's honestly like if you look up online, you can get like 1,000 recipes that take 5 minutes that are healthy. There's honestly no excuses. But something that is a problem here at Laurier, I don't know if it's a problem at other universities, but it's hard to get gym time sometimes. It's really difficult to book the gym. You got to book the gym in advance. So like I actually brought my bench to Laurier, and but I only have 40. So this is a question that I know a lot of people on social media are going to kind of rip me for, because I know there's a huge thing right now. People are doing like 10 sets of like 50 on bench, and I see that. I know like that's like an insane amount of volume, but for people that have minimal equipment, like I feel like you can still make progress doing lots of volume if you only have 40s, you're gonna have to be doing like 25, 30 reps, 40 reps. What do you think? Like you think that is like manageable, or should you like try doing just body weight stuff, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think it's more annoying than anything, just because you can't, like, you have a gym but you just can't get access to it. And I think that's kind of one of the cons of like something like a university where there's so many kids and only just like a small or like medium-sized gym where you have to book, which is annoying. I mean, if you have like the money for it, I would say maybe try to get a membership like somewhere small, just like off campus, 5-10 minutes away, because they definitely probably have that. So if you can afford to do that, I would say do that. Like you said, in your case where you have your bench but you only have like 40 pounds or whatever it was, time under tension, slowing your reps down, doing 20-30 reps, like you said, where you're going to get cooked for doing all this volume. I mean, that's kind of just like when you have access to like a proper gym, right? When you're limited, you really don't have a choice, so you kind of just have to do what you have to do. But one thing I want to say, though, is that people kind of, get discouraged by like limited equipment, and like by, they think like, oh, I only have 40 pounds or whatever it is, so it's going to take me 20 reps to start to get tired, so I'm not even going to waste my time doing it, right? But the thing is, like, your body doesn't really know, like, oh, you're doing a bench, you're doing a machine press, right? It just knows that you are putting it under a certain amount of stress, and to adapt to that stress, to continue to survive, it needs to adapt, right? So that's kind of like the whole basis behind muscle building. Like when you go into a gym and you're doing curls, your body doesn't know like, oh, he's trying to grow his biceps, he's doing curls to grow his biceps. It just knows we are being put under stress that we weren't previously. If this is going to be a consistent thing where we're going to be put under this stress consistently, we need to grow in order to survive. Like, our bodies are very, you know, primal, like instinctual. So as long as you're putting your body, you know, whether that be with body weights or just 40 pounds or whatever you can get access to, as long as you're putting your body under a certain amount of stress that, you know, it won't be able to handle, it'll be, you know, forced to adapt and grow. And then that's when you're going to, you know, get fitter, gain muscle, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, as long as you're progressively overloading, you could really just be doing anything. Like, if you were doing nothing, just doing like 10 pushups a day, then 15, then 20, there's really just no excuses. You can start anywhere. You can start in your dorm room. You can start anywhere. Like, there's just so many different options, so many different home workout options too, like just looking it up. So kind of wrapping it up here, I want to ask you, what's like your favorite memory in the gym? Is it like maybe your first 225 or what is your favorite memory ever in the gym?
Yeah, so I think if we're talking specifically weights, I think probably the two plate bench press was pretty hype. The 275 bench press was also pretty hype. The 405 squat that I hit, that was also hype. But if we're not talking specifically about weights and we're talking about favorite moment, was honestly probably that the first time someone's like came up to me in person and said like, yo, I'm trying to do this or I'm trying to grow this. Like, what do you think I should do? Like, could you help me? And then that kind of, when that happened the first time, I was just kind of like, damn, like, I guess I look good enough that someone thinks like I know what I'm doing to the point where I could, you know, help them. And also, like, you know, they had the courage kind of to come up to some random person they didn't know and just ask for help, which I definitely didn't have that when I first started and wish I did. But yeah, so that's probably my favorite moment, when someone, you know, the first time someone came up to me and kind of like asked me for advice in person in the gym after, like, you know, just seeing what I look like, I guess.
Yeah, no, that definitely is like it definitely sounds like a pretty just crazy moment. And I feel like that's kind of like the like you made it moment kind of thing, because it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier. You looked at those like mass monsters and used to think like, oh, like, I'm gonna like study their exercises. And it's kind of like 3 or 4 years later, like, those people that used to be you are studying like the exercises that you're doing.
Exactly.
So that's definitely pretty insane. And one more question. Do you ever look to compete? And if you did, what class would it be in?
So yeah, I actually am looking and thinking about competing. It's probably going to be the men's physique, which is like the smallest class for those who don't know bodybuilding. Just because, you know, like, a rookie mistake I made was not hitting or not working out my legs for like the first year and a half, 2 years, which I think a lot of guys do. So train your legs, gentlemen. Even if you don't think you want to train them now, in the future, if you continue working out, you will not like that you skipped legs in the beginning. But yeah, so I don't think I would ideally, and I think my favorite division is classic, but I just don't think I have the legs right now. And my plan on competing is, I plan on going through like a year and a half growing phase right now, and then probably starting a prep then. So we're in 2021 right now, so it'll probably end up being late 2022. Yeah, late 2022 is when I'm thinking right now. But I do have a lot more growing to do before I step on stage. And my first show will probably be men's physique, like I said. But once I bring up my legs after a couple more years, then I'll probably make the switch over to classic, because that is, you know, that's what I think is the best division, personally.
Yeah, Seabum 2.0 coming up in the ranks, guys. Like, you're hearing it here first. So that is a huge thing, though, for all you, definitely a lot of gym bros in university, like, boys, you gotta be hitting legs. Like, I've been working out for around like a year and a half, and probably my first 9 months I didn't hit legs. And yeah, it definitely catches up to you, because your proportions just look horrendous. And yeah, it's definitely not the best idea. And also, talking about that growing phase too, I think there's a lot of people that I know in university that are kind of just obsessed with staying like just lean year round. Like, if you want to like put on mass, guys, you got to be mucking a lot of food. That's kind of like a difficult thing too for a lot of like first year people, like going to the, I'm fortunate enough that I have a kitchen, but a lot of people like going to the dining hall, this is like, this might even be a difficult question for you to answer, Because I kind of had trouble with it even thinking about it. But if you're only on the dining hall meal plan, how would you recommend kind of like figure, because you can't really track that stuff. So like, how are you going to get into a surplus just going to the dining hall, and then after your bulk get into a deficit just being in the dining hall? Like, do you think that is even possible, or just because it's different food every day? Like, that's kind of like a difficult thing to do, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely things you can do to get, you know, yourself closer to that calorie number. Are you going to be exact? No, unfortunately, you won't be. I mean, you can bring a food scale. And one thing I would kind of recommend, what I kind of did myself, even though I wasn't ever in a dining hall situation, is whenever, you know, if you're trying to gain weight or if you're trying to lose weight, I would say round your numbers kind of down or up, you know, depending on what you want to do. So if you're trying to gain weight, and let's say you're trying to track the dining hall food and you're going off the numbers that they're saying, you know, each portion is how many calories, I would just say, if you're trying to say, you know, you're eating in a surplus and then you're still not gaining weight, obviously those numbers are incorrect. So I would just say kind of round down. If something's telling you maybe, you know, something's 450 calories, maybe count as 300. And then if you're doing that for, you know, multiple meals, that is going to, you know, just add calories in there, and then you're going to end up gaining weight eventually. So yeah, I would just say if you're limited to dining hall, you know, the biggest thing you can do is kind of just whatever numbers they're giving you, round them down or up, depending on what your goals is. If you're trying to gain weight, round the numbers they're giving you down. If you're trying to lose weight, round the calorie numbers they're giving you up. And then that will just give you a better idea of, you know, just to trend yourself in the right direction.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. No, for sure. That's a good idea. So yeah, I think that's about it. Unless you have any kind of questions for me, that's pretty much it. Just kind of thanks for coming on the podcast. Definitely keep some good information. That's going to help a lot of people. So if you like, pretty much at the end of the day, if you want it enough, you can make the time for it. It's kind of like, if you take anything from that, I think that's what you should take. Like, if you really want it, you can put in the dedication, you can figure out the calories, you can work out somehow, you can figure out something, you know, you can find the time of day. So
for sure. And one thing I want to say really quickly is just like a question I kind of get asked a lot, where is just like a lot of people are just like, yo, how do you stay motivated? And the two answers I would kind of give for that is like, one would just be like, you're not going to be motivated all the time. There's going to be times where you have to, you know, have your routine, have your discipline to step in and say, hey, you don't feel like it. How you feel about it is irrelevant. We got to do it whether you feel like it or not. So you have to have that, you know, kind of built in and ingrained in your head. And another thing is like, honestly, personally, I don't really struggle with motivation anymore, just because like, how would you not be motivated? Like, your goals is something you want to achieve, right? So how do your goals not motivate you? Like, no one's telling you to work out. You're the one that wants to make the change. You're the one that wants to look a certain way. You're the one that doesn't like the way you look currently. You know, you want to feel better. Like, that is the motivation in itself. Like, if your goals don't motivate you, you probably need bigger goals, or you need to change something, because that's just what I think, is that like, no one is telling you to do these things. You know, you're the one deciding that you want to do this because you want to, you know, feel a certain way or look a certain way. So if you really want it, then you shouldn't have to worry about motivation, because, you know, your goals itself should be the biggest motivating factor.
Yeah, I think even kind of like adding on to that, I think a lot of people start off like they go for like a month and they don't really see too much progress and they quit. But I feel like once you kind of stick it out for maybe a month, 2 months, maybe like 3 months, when you really start seeing those newbie gains come in, when you first start working out, like once you see like change in your body, like it's addictive, honestly. Like, it's addicting, and you're gonna be motivated on those days that you're not, because you're just addicted to the change, kind of thing. So I think you just gotta stick it out. I think those first months are just the hardest, and once you kind of get past there, it's just like part of your routine. But it can't just be kind of like, you can't be doing it for the results. You gotta be doing it for like the long run. It can't just be like a little thing you're doing just to like get a six pack in a month. It's got to be a lifestyle. You got to kind of want it for the long run, you know, because it's not going to change in a month. You're not going to get a six pack in a month, kind of thing. So
for sure. And I think another thing too is that kind of a big reason why all these people fall off is because a lot of people will, you know, they'll go from doing nothing and they'll hit that point where they're like, that's it. I'm going to work out 7 times a week. I'm going to eat healthy 3 days a meal, you know, or 3 meals a day. I'm going to eat healthy. No cheat meals ever. I'm going to run a mile every morning at 6 a.m. And it's like, man, you just went from doing nothing. And now you're trying to completely 360. That may work for some people, but a lot of people, it's going to be hard to stay consistent with, because after a week of that, you're going to feel burnt out. You're going to think, okay, this is not for me. I can't do this all year round, which, you know, most people can't. So it's probably just best to get started with, you know, what you actually want to do, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, all this stuff I need to do because I want to be healthy. I want to look a certain way. Just be like, hey, I want to put on some muscle. Let me go to the gym 3-4 times a week. I've made some good results. I want to get a little bit bigger. Let me add some more food. Let me do this. So just start with what you actually want to do, right, to achieve your goals, and then slowly add more and more things until you hit a certain point where, like, now you are training 6 times a week. Now you are eating, you know, 3 healthy meals a day. Now you are only having 1 cheat meal, you know, a week or every 2 weeks or whatever it is. Yep. So I think, you know, start slow, start with what you actually want to do. And then as your habits, you know, as you build those habits, you can continue to add new things and build more habits and better habits on top of those.
That's honestly a great point. Like, yeah, so many, I used to do that too, actually, like when I was younger, just try to run like a mile and then work out and then like eat zero sugar, anything. It definitely does kind of just burn you out. So, and like, the thing is, if you're doing nothing, just like going on like a little run a day, that's like way more than what you were doing before, kind of thing. So you should be like proud of that. Exactly. That's definitely a great point. Anything else that you wanted to add or say?
One more thing I kind of want to say quickly is that back to like kind of competing and like sebum and stuff, I think it's great kind of what like Chris is doing, kind of the look that he has. And I think it's cool that for people that don't know bodybuilding, there's a thing called the classic division, which is, you know, now becoming the most popular division because it's kind of seen as not, I don't want to say realistic, but it's kind of seen as more like good looking physique, you know, like kind of like an aesthetic physique that a lot of like teenage guys now obviously like and can, you know, would want to assimilate something similar to that and achieve something similar to that. So I think that's obviously why it's becoming the most popular division. And I think it's a great thing for, you know, bodybuilding and working out, just because, you know, bodybuilding was kind of seen as like something that's like gross and like, you know, the masses would be like, oh, I don't want to look like that. That looks disgusting and all that stuff. So I kind of think there's a little bit of a switch going on where, you know, that classic division is becoming one of the most popular divisions because not that it, I just don't want to say that it's realistic, but it's just kind of more kind of accepted with a lot of younger kids, and a lot of younger kids kind of like that look, which I think is good. Just for the bodybuilding scene in general. So that's just something I want to say to, you know, bring more popularity to the sport. I think it's great what Chris is doing.
Yeah, no, I think the thing about, if you guys don't know, Chris Bumstead, he's won what, the Olympia 3 times in a row for classic physique. And he's just kind of like the pinnacle of aesthetics. Like, he's, look him up on the internet. But the thing is about Chris is a lot of bodybuilders definitely like in the past years have just had no personality, no energy, no nothing. Chris is just like such a genuine guy. And like watching his interviews too, and watching like his workout videos, like he's such an inspirational guy. If you're just listening to the different things he's saying, I think he's honestly great for the sport. If you guys are ever lacking motivation, we were saying before, go watch like a sebum workout video, because he's honestly a beast. So no, that's a great thing. Thank you so much for coming on the show, guys. Go follow Patrick Reynolds on Instagram, TikTok. What other social medias you got running?
I got a YouTube going.
Oh yeah, YouTube.
My name, yeah.
And let me know what questions you guys have and try to answer at some point. But
all right, man, thank you so much for having me. Really enjoy myself. I love doing these type of things where I can just, you know, answer questions for anyone that has them. We're definitely be opening to do this again if, you know, the people enjoy it and more people have more questions.
I know